Our scripture readings this morning come first of all from the book of Psalms, chapter 32, verses 1 through 7. Hear with me the word with open hearts and willing minds. Count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate is wiped clean. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you, and you're holding nothing back from Him. When I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder, my words became day-long groans. The pressure never let up, and all the juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out. I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. Suddenly the pressure was gone, my guilt dissolved, my sin disappeared. These things add up. Every one of us needs to pray. When all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts, we'll be on high ground, untouched. God is my island getaway, keeps danger far from shore, throws garlands of hosannas around my neck. And from the New Testament, from the last book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. I saw heaven and earth new created, gone the first heaven, gone the first earth, gone the sea. I saw the holy Jerusalem, new created, descending resplendent out of heaven, as ready for God as a bride for her husband. I heard a voice thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making His home with men and women. They're His people, He's their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone, crying gone, pain gone. All the first order of things gone. The enthroned continued, look, I'm making everything new. Write it all down. Each word dependable and accurate. May we be transformed by the wisdom of these words.
Friends, it seldom happens that we have a third scripture reading, but when you hear the third reading, you will understand how it fits in with the first two readings that Cindy just did. It comes from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone, and that puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in His death so that everyone could also be included in His life. A resurrection life. A far better life than people ever lived on their own. And because of this decision, we don't evaluate people but what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and we got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at Him that way anymore. And now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and Him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He's doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you say? In Christ. God put the wrong on Him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. And here ends our scripture readings. May God's Spirit touch, guide, and change us this very morning. My friends, there was a large metropolitan newspaper, and on that particular day they had a very slow afternoon. You mean, the top reporter came in to see the boss, and the boss said, you mean, this city has gone through one whole afternoon without a single newsworthy event? Are you telling me there was not a single robbery, murder, or assault? The reporter answered, don't panic, boss. The evening's still young. You've got to have faith in human nature. Sad, isn't it? But it's true. It's true. What a world we're living in. This very weekend, packages containing printer cartridges filled with explosive detonators and circuits linked to a mobile phone network were discovered on cargo planes in Dubai and the United Kingdom. And we know, we've experienced it. 9/11 changed, dramatically changed the very nature of our nation. And since then, it is forever influencing our lives. It is as if a downward spiral of terrorism and counter-terrorism, war, religious division, and hatred is dragging the world deeper and deeper into darkness. Have you heard about the doomsday clock? Well, let me tell you, it's a symbolic clock face, and it's been maintained since 1947 by atomic scientists in Chicago. And it uses the analogy of the human race being at a time that is measured as a few minutes to midnight. Now, midnight represents destruction by nuclear war. And most recently, the scientists adjusted the doomsday clock, and you can look it up. Currently, it shows a mere 6 minutes before midnight. And this stark measurement is frightening. We get the impression that humankind is racing towards self-destruction unless a timely solution is found. Some of you will remember at the dramatic moment when the Second World War ended. And do you remember that between 50 and 70 million people died cruel deaths during those years? When it ended, General Douglas MacArthur made a speech that is still ringing across the world, being remembered. These were his first words of peace to a world who waited for so many years. He said, we have had our last chance. If we do not now devise some greater and more equitable system Armageddon will be at our door. Now, many of us have heard about the Club of Rome. It is a global think tank. It's a center of innovation and initiative. Now, in the Club of Rome is brought together scientists, economists, business persons, international high civil servants, heads of state, and they come from all five continents, and they seek and they suggest solutions to the greatest problems in the world. Now, following the Second World War, the entire earth was in crisis, and it went on for a while. The Club of Rome decided we need to discover what's happening. We are facing self-destruction as a world. So they brought a lot of money together, and they financed an ambitious project, spending actually millions of dollars to engage some of the best qualified persons in the world to study the most serious international problems of those days, and then to come up with a report, to propose possible solutions. Now, the one question that they wanted answered is the following: how can we change the world for the better? Now, the appointed people worked diligently and very hard. They did so over a long period of time. And finally, they came up with a comprehensive report. What was their conclusion? Remember, it was still the period before AIDS and international terrorism. What did they find? What was then the most serious problem in this world? What's happening? Was it the widespread hunger and poverty all over the world? No. These matters were mentioned in the report, but definitely not as the greatest problem. Was it the danger of a nuclear war, so critical in those first years after of the Cold War? Surprising, no. It was mentioned, but not in their finding. Well, was it then the root of so much evil money, the mighty dollar? Not even that. Was it global concerns? No. Was it the depletion of the ozone layer? No. Was it the destruction of the rainforest? Was it global warming? No, no, no. On all these answers, the answer came, yeah, it's important things, but it's not that. The unanimous finding was that something has gone desperately wrong with all humankind. The Club of Rome concluded that our world's biggest problem is the nature, the very nature and the depravity of us as human beings. Listen verbally to what the report said. I just take one paragraph. It says, "We gossip, we demean, we hurt. We assassinate one another with our words, with our attitudes and deeds. We hate, we destroy, we are prejudiced against one another. We are looting the earth and its resources. We, us, no one else, nothing else, are causing the gradual destruction of our world." Now, in order to turn the doomsday clock back, to counter the hatred, to replace war and strife with peace and tolerance of those who differ from us, no matter in what way, we must begin at the source of our self-destruction. Where is that? Deep, deep inside you and me. We must learn how to recreate human nature. There are factors determining your life and mine, because we are governed from the inside by our very nature, our background, our environment and indication, so they say. Well, if that's the truth, then it's in a sad, pathetic way. We know that the bright minds are no longer centered in our country. They're spread across the world. America is fastly losing its place amongst the nations. In a sad, pathetic way, we have indeed become the captains of our souls and the masters of our fate. We are destroying the hope for a better world from the inside out. Now, what has that got to do with our gathering here this morning? Let me tell you, let me proclaim the wonderful word of Scripture, the word of Christ. This is exactly where the power and the beauty of our Christian faith comes in. The closing message in the book of Revelation proclaims a changed world, where the distance that we have created between God and us will be no more. It says, look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They're his people. He's their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good, tears gone, crying gone, pain gone, all the first order of things gone. Bible says, look, I am making everything new. Now, in today's scripture, the apostle wrote to the first century community of Corinth. Their problems were significant, including divisions in the church. And you know what was happening in early Corinth? Church members took each other to court because they couldn't get along with one another. They had pressing ethical questions. It was a time of public scandals and disruptive and chaotic behavior. Now, the Apostle Paul knew that the one problem that undergirds all others was that they did not grasp the nature of Christian salvation. There is little point in proclaiming the resurrection of Christ unless you and I undergo a spiritual resurrection through Christ. Church membership was not going to do it for them. A true relationship with God in and through Jesus Christ makes you a Christian. Nothing else does. Even today, you and I can exchange our hateful, harming, and selfish innermost self, and we can become a new creation in Christ. The message of Jesus is still echoing through the ages. See, I am making all things new. In and through Christ, our lives together will be a new creation. Brother, sister, so difficult to put it in words, but in the light of Jesus, we see and we touch the face of God. Change begins in us through Christ and spreads into the world as we work, strive, and live as Jesus did. After all, it's He who taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that every Sunday. What do you say for a half century in the pulpit? You still believe all that? I do. I believe that in Christ there is a peaceful world still to come, an earth renewed and free. All which divide and hurt will be gone, and God's dwelling with us will be. Oh, I long for the day. I do not know whether I'll ever see it, or you and my children and our children and the next or the second generation. But I long for a day when God's will be our will, and when God's way will be our way. Then God, as the Bible says, shall indeed live amongst mortals. And then the tear wiping will begin. Then we shall destroy each other, and our beautiful world no more. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Ever-present, ever-loving God, in your presence there is no night or darkness. In our times of uncertainty, in a world that for us so often seem out of control, our prayers are now reaching from darkness into light, from despair to hope, from loneliness to being in your comforting presence. Gracious God, we place before you our fragmented, harried, and confusing lives, that you might show us glimpses of your beauty and joy. We place before you the people we know who hurt. We bring the struggling child, the frustrated parent, the fragile relationship, the crisis of health, so that you might teach us the sacrament of care as we reach out to others. O God, from this day's place this morning, we place before you our world and all those persons yearning for justice, for freedom and peace. Move us, Spirit God. Move us beyond our immediate wants, needs, and expectations to the new life that you once again offer to us in this place this morning. Hear us as we pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.